And so, Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all honor. We give you all adoration. We thank you because you are the one at work in us, both to will and to do of your own good pleasure. We thank you for the abundance of grace. We thank you for the gift of righteousness. We thank you for the love that you have commended towards us. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for the victory we have in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the protection. We thank you for the daily provisions. We thank you because you daily load us with benefits. We say, be exalted in the name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Spirit of the living God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, because you are the one here tonight to teach us. We thank you because you have revealed yourself to us in your word. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we hand over to you again, as usual. Take your place in our midst. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. And we declare over this meeting that there is no disconnection. There is no discord of any kind. In the name of Jesus. There is no disagreement of any kind. In the name of Jesus. And we remove every obstacle in the form of thoughts. We remove them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Praise the Lord. Tonight, over the next few minutes, we want to exercise authority and power over fear. So tonight is going to be a bit different as we are looking at the world. Praise the Lord. I want you to be exercising authority immediately and making certain adjustments in your spirit, even as the word is coming out. This is important. This is so important. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 to 10. I'll read all scripture from my hand to avoid any issues. 1 Peter chapter 5 from verse 8 to 10. Thank you, Father. Now, I read. It says, be sober. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to us through Apostle Peter. And then he said, be sober. Be vigilant. Be sober. Now, the Amplified Version says, be well balanced. He said, temperate. Sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times, for that enemy of yours, the devil, it says, he goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9 says, whom you resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brothers that are in the world. Tonight we want to look at the meaning of fear and exercising authority over fear in our lives. Now, when you look at a lion has a specific system that it uses to hunt. And the Bible says something about the devil. It didn't call the devil a lion. It said, he goeth about like a lion. He goeth about disguising himself as a lion. And we all know by now that the devil's biggest strength is his deception, his ability to deceive. So he's able to deceive people into thinking that is an actual lie. So he goes about like a lion. And how do lions hunt? Because what he's doing when he's going about is that he is hunting. He is seeking whom he may devour. The Lord. He is seeking the person that is available for him to devour. And the Bible says he's an enemy. So you have an enemy that's disguised himself as a lion, and it goes about seeking whom he may devour. Now, this scripture is clear, and if we were to use human understanding to interpret this scripture, we look as if what the Bible is saying, that the devil comes to you physically to appear to you. He's going up and down every day, checking families, seeing where he can come and manifest himself so that you can see him physically. Because when a lion is, you know, going up and down, you can actually see a lion. But this is not the case. Now, when a lion wants to hunt and he sights a pack of sheep or he sights a pack of antelopes, so the lion will stay in a place not very far from where the antelopes are, and it's going to roar. Now, when the lion roars, all of the animals, regardless of their numbers, all of the animals will run away. They will run in different directions in groups. Now, the lion will carefully wait and watch for that one, that one antelope that is running alone. Or not running with the flock. So he goes for that one. Why? Because that antelope is usually too scared to think. So the weapon of a lion in hunting is fear. First of all. And now, the weapon of the weapon of Satan, so to say, in bringing down believers, in attacking believers, is fear. It's something we must understand, that we have an enemy that has been defeated. The Bible says in 1 John 4, verse 4, that you have overcome the world. Now, who is the strongest person in the world? The Bible says that you have overcome the world, and the world itself has the strong man. The strongest person in the world is the devil. As the strong man of the world. And the Bible says you have overcome the world. Now look at this. So you have overcome the world and a strong man, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But interestingly, the person that is in you is a spirit. It's so important that we understand this. Now, he that is in you is a spirit. And so you're fighting a defeated enemy. So you need to think about this, that how do a defeated enemy comes against you and still wins? If we are indeed fighting a defeated enemy, how is Satan, or say the devil, still managing to win over some Christians? Why are Christians still running prey to the devil, despite the fact that they have won? Praise the Lord. Now, one of these reasons is fear. I'll say practically that the reason most believers fall prey to the defeated enemy that we have, praise the Lord, the major reason, are ignorance, one, stupidity, two, indiscipline, three. Now, these three have a direct product. They are direct products. So fear, for example, is a result of ignorance. Fear is a result of ignorance. As the Bible says, that he that feareth is not made perfect in love. The fear itself is a sign that the person is not well grounded in love yet. And you are grounded in love even as you are grounded in God. Now, you can't be grounded in God without the knowledge of God. This is what the Bible says, that those that know their God, they shall, you know, mount up with wings as eagles, they shall walk and not be tired. And all that. Those that know their God. So the devil was a lion going about roaring. He has a single motive to scare you. The singular motive of the roaring of the devil is to scare you. Because the devil knows, Satan knows, that as long as you are not scared, praise the Lord, as long as you are not scared, it can't get to you. Especially if you're a born again believer. If you're a born again believer without fear in your life, it is going to be very difficult for the devil to really handle you. Fear. The lion goeth about roaring. Now, he's seeking whom he may devour. So, as he roars, he's looking for the person that is going to react to the roar. You see that the Bible is very explicit, that he's seeking the person that he may devour when he roars. So the end result of the roaring is so that somebody reacts and become a candidate to be devoured. Now the Bible now says something, that if you're going to be able to, you know, to overcome again, it says you're going to resist. You don't find this interesting? The Bible didn't say you're going to fight. The Bible says, whom you resist, fast in the faith. Now, the Bible didn't say you can't react to the roaring of the lion. The Bible didn't say that. But the Bible says that you must respond with faith. Pay attention. This is a very important detail that's very important here. You may react to the roaring of the lion. It's not a problem. But your response must not be the reaction. Your response must be based on faith. It says, whom you resist. Now, this is speaking to the person that even the devil has seen that he may devour. So this phrase, whom you resist, applies to those who he may devour and those he may not. So you may not, you'll be like, I am not the part of the people that the devil can devour. So it doesn't really concern me. It's talking to you. So what if you belong to the category of people that he may devour? The Bible says you are going to have to resist him steadfast in the faith. Now listen to me. Every believer can resist the devil steadfast in the faith. If you couldn't resist him steadfast in the faith, God wouldn't ask you to resist him steadfast in the faith. Because God wouldn't ask you to be able to do something which he knows that you will not be able to do. It is impossible. He says you resist him steadfast in the faith. Steadfast in the faith. So there is a very important connection between faith and fear. There is a very important connection between faith and fear. Now let me say this. Now faith comes. How? By hearing. And hearing now of the word of God. Now, how does the fear come? Praise the Lord. How does fear come? Fear comes by hearing of the news about what Satan can do. So, faith comes by hearing of the word of God, while fear comes by hearing of the doings of darkness. So while the word of God empowers faith, listen to me, the news about darkness empowers fear. So as faith is the divine power, this is attention now, as faith is the divine power of God that is in his word, fear is the weapon of Satan to get people to accept the situation is forcing on them. What's good now? So fear is faith in what Satan do. I'll repeat that for emphasis. Fear is faith in what Satan can do. And now many people, sincerely speaking, they have so much faith in what the devil can do than what God can. And the devil can be so funny, he has managed to disguise what he can do as the norm. So we call it normal thing. Praise the Lord. We call it the normal thing. Interestingly, the same way faith comes, the same way fear comes. How does faith come? Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 says that who have believed our report. It says, to whom is the hand of the Lord revealed? Who hath believed our report? To whom is the hand of the Lord revealed? So it says, the person that believes the report of God is the person whom the hand of the Lord will be revealed to. Now, the person that believes the report of the devil is the person whose the hand of the devil will be revealed. Now, how do you know whose report you believe? Is simply based on what motivates the decision you're taking, faith or fear. Many people have moved out of faith in the hope that they're doing something logical and they're acting based on fear. Satan knows how to use fear. He knows how to disguise fear as caring. He knows how to disguise fear as cares. He knows how to disguise fear as worries. He knows how to disguise fears as, you know, the normal expectations that people should have. Let's take a practical example. That you have reached as a female lady, you've reached a particular age and you're yet unmarried, and God keeps sending word to you that, you know what? You've got a bright future ahead of you. Don't worry. I'll prepare someone for you, and the person is right there. But the devil knows exactly how to make you think that you're old. He just comes to you one day and whispers to you that, don't you think you're old? Or he whispers to someone, and then he just starts putting a prayer on you. And out of the fear that you are indeed getting old, you begin to explore options. Begin to think, maybe I'm sitting too much on this. Everyone help those who help themselves. That was not written in the Bible. And you begin to take steps out of fear in the hope that you are helping God to help you. You have listened to the devil. Now, this happens a whole number of times. Fear is a product of what you're feeding your mind. You read the news. We go to, you know, in certain churches there, they don't preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus there. They preach the gospel of, you know, of darkness, if I may. In certain churches in this part of the world, you know, you can go to a full service, and from the beginning to the end, you know, what you will hear is strange realities happening in the spiritual realm, caused by principalities and powers. You start hearing all sort of strange things. Now, this is not to say that these strange things do not exist. No, we're not disputing the fact that they do exist. But we're saying you're not supposed to be talking about them in the house of God. Because the report you are giving to them is not the kind of report that empowers them. Praise the Lord. So, fear is a product of the information your mind is able to process. But faith is of the spirit. So faith is of the spirit, fear is of the mind. Let's settle that now. That faith is first and foremost of the spirit, and then fear is first and foremost of the mind.
However, both of them can spill over. So faith starts from the spirit and then gets spilled over to the mind as the reality begins to evolve. While fear starts first from the mind and then it creeps over into the spirit as the reality begins to occur. They walk in opposite directions. And that is why, listen to me, you can have fear. I mean, you can be scared and still have faith. Because they are first and foremost the product of two entities. Now listen to me. The devil knows how to use his fear. He knows how to put it in the tiny, tiny, tiny information you listen to every day. The video you see on Instagrams, the news you're seeing, on magazines, there's a reason that bad news sell more than good in the world. Ask magazine makers, ask newscasters. They know it's a simple rule. Bad news sells more than good news in the world. Now that is just crazy. Think about it. People deserve to hear good news. But people don't pay attention to good news because it does not instill fear. Fear can rob you of everything that God has planned for you. Do not forget two things, very important things, that fear is faith in what Satan can do. It does not matter how it is disguised. It can be disguised as the normal thing. It can be disguised as the standard thing. And it can be disguised as the basic things that should happen, or the basic things that would happen if you continually to obey what God. Let's say, for example, that someone earns a very minimum amount of money as income, and after receiving that amount of money, so lead to a person barely has enough to survive, and now he wants to pay tithes on it. And then he begins to think, come on, this is so little, this is barely enough for me. Do I even have to pay tithe on this? If I pay tithe on this, there's going to be nothing left. And if you logically think about it, I don't think I should pay tithe on this amount of money. It's too small. It's not even going to be enough. And because he's scared of what will be left over, if he should pay the tithe, he would not pay the tithe. And he would have robbed himself of blessings. Now, this isn't God robbing him. He would have been the one robbing himself of his blessings. The thing with fear is that it keeps us in a cage. Fear isn't real or allow it. I teach you a secret tonight. The Bible says that you are able to resist the devil steadfast in the faith. What this means is that you can refute fear, and what you fear depends on you to come alive or not. Let me repeat this in a better way. Let me paraphrase it better. What I'm saying is this, that what you fear needs your permission to come to life. Your fears need your permission in order for them to actually happen. So what we're saying is this, that if you actually have fears and they've come to pass, it is because you have allowed it. Because the Bible says that you can resist the devil itself steadfast in your faith. So if you can resist the devil steadfast in your faith, what this means is that you can stop whatever it is that you are fearing, whatever it is you're scared of, from actually coming to life. And how do you do this? You do this steadfast in the faith. Understand this, ladies and gentlemen, that it's okay to be scared. I'll be frank with you. Being scared is just the mental reaction. It could be mental, it could be physical. It is simply the reaction of your body or your mind to circumstances. It is all right. Though it shows that, You have not trained your mind well enough. You have not renewed your mind well enough. It's all right. It's all right. You can be scared. You can get scared. Your body can react. I mean, your mind can even react. But what matters is what you do after you escape. So it's not the fear that is the problem, but what you do as a result of the fear or in spite of the fear. So the fear becomes a problem when fear shapes your reactions, when fear shapes your confections, when fear shapes your actions. And the target of the devil, ladies and gentlemen, is not your reaction. The target of the devil is your confections and your actions. Because the Bible says that who has believed our report? Let's be sensitive about these things. To whom is the hand of the Lord revealed? So when you take actions because of fear, when you make confessions because of fear, it shows that you have believed the report of the devil that he made available to you through fear. And so because you have believed this report, you are going to see his hand in your life. This is direct. This is simple. So it is not a fear. The problem is not a fear. Problem is what you do after being scared. Can somebody say, I have overcome fear? Can somebody say, I have overcome fear? So fear is only a channel for the real damage. Fear is only a channel for the real damage. Now, I was saying something earlier that you can have faith and still be scared. Because, listen to me, because being scared or fear is simply a reaction of your body or your mind. Now, you may have filled your mind with all sorts of things and they are not yet all renewed because they're still there. In fact, you may be familiar, let's take for example, you may be familiar with the operations of demons. You may be familiar with the operations of witches and wizards. You may be familiar because of experiences you've had, because of stories you've heard about people, because of some, you know, congregations you've joined before in the past. You may be familiar with the workings of darkness. And so you're walking on the street or you're walking in your room and then a demon appears from nowhere. You can't be scared. It's all right. In that moment, for your body or your mind to actually react. The problem happens when you let that fear decide your action in that moment. That is the real problem. So, as a believer, in spite of that fear, you are expected to exercise authority. And see, this happens a number of times. So the fear can show that, yes, you have not yet fully trained your mind and your body. It's okay. The real damage has not been done until the fear shapes your decisions, until the fear shapes your confessions. I've shared this testimony before. I was at an accident was upright in my presence. Though it was something God has spoken to me about quite earlier, so, and I dealt with it. So I just passed the road and then the accident happened. The moment I heard God, I said, no, nothing is wrong with these people. All of you stand up, you're going to be all right. Lo and behold, check themselves and they were all right. They could have been more fitter. But because God has spoken to me about it before and I dealt with it before. So when it actually happened, the confession showed that my confession agreed with what God has said. So what I'm saying is this, that when we find ourselves in situations, our confessions of faith are required. So you don't feel like, oh, because I was scared for a minute there, I've lost. No. you have not automatically lost because you felt scared for a minute. It's all right. But what are you going to do? This is where the challenge is. So if your mind is not renewed with the word of God, you're going to have a real problem. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Can we just pray in the spirit for just a moment? Can you go ahead and exercise authority over fear now in just a moment? Can you go ahead, exercise authority over fear? Over fear of the future, over fear of circumstances, over fear of failure, over fears regarding those issues, over those mountains, over that sickness. Can you just exercise authority over fear now? Pray in the spirit. 1 minute, just pray in the spirit. Make sure you are praying. Make sure you're declaring, I have overcome. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. I have overcome fear. Fear has no control over me. I have dominion over fear. I have dominion over fear. Fear has no control over me. In the name of Jesus. Take this prayer serious. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Fear has no any kind over me. I thrive in spite of fear. In the name of Jesus. I thrive in spite of fear. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Spirit of the living God. For in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. You need to understand this, that fear has ruined many lives, has destroyed many plans. In Numbers chapter 13 and verse 14, in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, right, we saw a whole generation perish because of fear. The truth is this, their fears were genuine. I mean, what they were scared of was really there. The giants were really there. The giants, the people in the land were really strong. If God wasn't with them, there was no way they could have defeated them. Now, we are well aware of all those things. Caleb and Joshua also were aware of all those things. Yet, Caleb and Joshua decided to speak contrary to their fears. It would be wrong for us to think Caleb and Joshua were not scared. But the Bible says that God's testimony about Joshua and Caleb was that they had from themselves another spirit. God said he has found in them, they had another spirit. And in that spirit, there was no fear. You see, so Joshua and Caleb may have been scared, but the fear didn't move away from their minds and their bodies. It didn't even stay in their minds. God found in them another spirit. And because of this spirit, they were not scared. Because of the spirit that was found in Joshua and Caleb, they were not scared. So that means the remaining 10 spies that went to spy the land of Canaan were not just scared in their minds, but they were also scared in their spirit. They were not just scared in their minds, their spirits had also been enveloped in fear. And so because of the kind of fear that has overwhelmed them, spoke forth in that fear. And interestingly, they were able to pass on this fear to an entire congregation. Hundreds of thousands of people. This is to show you that this is more than just the information working here. There is a spirit at work. The spirit of fear. And so because of this, they couldn't believe the report of God any longer. And they couldn't see the hand of God any longer. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, the Bible says that God, from verse 6, it says, why I put you in remembrance? I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. Now look at this. I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God that is in you, which by putting on of my hands. This is Apostle Paul speaking to Bishop Timothy. And said, remember that I laid my hands on you and a spirit had come up to you. The Holy Spirit. He says, stir up the gift of God that is upon you. That is, you have to do something with the gift. He says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. So God has actually given us a spirit. But the spirit he gave us is not a spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So, what this means is that there is a spirit in you that there is no fear of any kind in it. The spirit in you, there is no fear of any kind in it. Now, but what this means, what this means is that, well, there can be fear in your mind. Your spirit is not yet enveloped with fear. Your spirit cannot be enveloped with fear. No wonder the Bible tells us that if you live by the flesh, it says you will die. If you live by the flesh, you're going to die. But if you live by the Spirit, Bible says there's no condemnation for those that live by the Spirit. There is no condemnation for those who live by the Spirit. So there's a very bit of a technical thing here, that there is a difference between the workings of the mind and the workings of the spirit. Now, the workings of the mind may bring upon fear, but the workings of the spirit that is in you, is of faith. So now, if you are scared, it can't be from God. Faith is of God. I didn't say we didn't just receive not the spirit of fear, but says we received the spirit of power. The spirit you have received has power. Acts 1 verse 8, the Lord Jesus said that you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So you actually have power within you to be able to overcome that fear. So listen to me now. The fear does not have dominion over you You have power over the fear naturally. So the reason your fears have been coming to pass, let me be frank now, the reason your fears in the past have been coming to pass is because you have not been exercising your power over the fears by refusing to cower into the fears. And how do you refuse to cower into the fears? You resist it steadfast in the faith. Because the power comes as a result of you living by faith. Without faith, there is no power. And it says, and of love. You see, these things have specific, how do you put it now? Specific importance. Those words one by one. Of power, first. Of power. So the spirit you that is in you has power. Brought along with it power. So there is power available in you. You've said that. Now, the two, and it says, and of love. Now, what is the essence of love in fear? How does love help you to overcome fear? How is love an ingredient to deal with fear? How? We're going to look at that last thing. And it says, and of a sound mind. So usually you're scared because your mind is not sound in the word of God. Basically, you're scared now because your mind is not sound yet in the word of God. But God is saying, I have given you the ability to achieve a sound mind. So you can have a sound mind. Can somebody say, I have a sound mind? Bible says, who have known the mind of the Lord to instruct him? But it says, we have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is sound. Can you say to yourself, I have a sound mind? Can you say this to yourself? I have a sound mind. Say it again to yourself. I have a sound mind. So if your mind is unsound, you are most likely to give in to fear. If your mind is unsound, you are most likely to give in to the roarings of the devil. Because the devil will continue to roar. We must tell each other these things, that the devil will continue to roar. It will continue seeking whom he may devour. It will continue looking for an opportunity to scare you, back you into a corner, just to get you to say what is contrary to what God has said, just to get you to act what is contrary to what God has given you. And in these times, praise God, in these times, what we do, we don't overcome by crying to God. It is important we understand how to deal with these issues. We don't overcome by crying to God. And this is why many believers make a mistake and they fall more into the fear, because they have cried to God in these tribulations. Hear me. They have cried to God in these situations, and it seems as though God did not hear. And so they, you know, they say, heaven help those. They look at it after some time of endurance, and they say, you know what? Heaven help those who have themselves. And then they go right out and disobey God. You resist him steadfast in the faith. You resist him steadfast in the faith. A man who has faith does not cry. A man who has faith remains and continues to speak. What? Okay, praise the Lord. Now, how do you know that you have faith? The Bible says that the righteousness which is of faith, Romans chapter 10, the righteousness which is of faith speaketh. So you are going to continually speak. We see in Revelation chapter 10, verse 12 or 12:10, that they overcame the Lamb and they overcame the dragon by the blood of the Lamb, and more importantly, by the word of their testimony. Who goes to war just by speaking? The kind of person that has won. You need to understand this. So you need the mentality of a victor. You need the mentality of a person that has overcome regardless of the circumstances you're facing. The angels didn't bother fighting. They didn't go there with guns and hammers and, you know, all of that. They didn't go there with all of that. They just went there with the blood and with their mouths. He said, this is the blood, and we have overcome you by the blood. And so they kept saying, we overcome you by the blood. We overcame you by the blood of the Lamb. The Bible says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. This is a precedent for you that want to resist the devil steadfast in your faith. You testify. So literally, we are now in a situation where you are scared of the future. You know, when you work with God, it gets to a point where you're just so scared of the future, and sincerely speaking, you don't know what to do. What I said is looking like it's not going to come to pass. It's looking like, I did not say it will not come to pass. I said it is looking like it will not come to pass. We see some example in the life of Abraham. He trusted God for 25 years. Forget that. And the middle of trusting God, fear crept into Sarah. Sarah thought at a point, and she was like, is this how both of us will die and there is no child, and you are still waiting on the fact that God spoke to you? I am not saying that God is not able to do this. So many people make that mistake that Sarah made. And I'm not saying that God is still not going to do it. But don't you think it is better that I give unto you my maiden hand and my handmaiden, and then she gives you a child? It will at least be better. It is a plan B in case God does not answer. Praise God. The reason that was not a major issue on the faith of Abraham was because it did not come from Abraham. It came from his wife. So God permitted it. Don't worry. It does not affect our working together. It does not affect your faith work. This is what your wife wants you to do so that it does not create a problem in your house. Use wisdom. Agree with her. And before you knew it, because God allowed Abraham and Sarah to do this, he almost meddled with the faith of Abraham. At some point in time, God was still telling Abraham that I'm going to make you father of many nations at some point. And Abraham said, you know what? Just take care of this one that you are giving me. It's fine. I am fine with this Ishmael. It is okay with me. Don't bother. And then God said, you don't get what I'm saying. I did not say I'm going to give you a child through a handmaiden. I said, Sarah will give you a child. Sarah. And God realized that it seems like this man is going to spoil the show. So God changes it. You must understand that these things can be so technical, they happen every day. Stop giving in to fear. The fear of the future is not real. The devil is making it look real. The fear of poverty, if you trust God, is not real. But it becomes real when you allow the devil to amplify it and you confess it. One of the things of the covenants I made with myself earlier on, sometimes last year, was that whenever I read something, the word of God, I would just take what the version of the word of God and believe it and run with it. That the word of God says it, I believe it, and then that's final. Sincerely speaking, there have been so many issues that people have tried to give me counsel on. Okay, so sir, why don't you handle this way? And I'll be like, thank you. While I value their input a lot, I value their concern a lot, I would not allow people projecting, you know, their understanding and fears into me and cause me to take decisions that is contrary to the word of God. It is very important that we understand these things. Why people genuinely care for you, they love you, they want you to grow, want you to move, they were expecting you to do things based on the fears that they have. They did not hear what you heard. So they can't have the fear you have. You must have the wisdom enough to receive the things that are inspired by fear. Don't be like Abraham. in that area. Praise the Lord. Can somebody say, I have a sound mind again? Because it takes a sound mind to understand how these things operate. Satan can be so crazy. He disguises fear in the name of prayer. There's no, praise the Lord, there's no prayer anywhere. It is just people projecting their fears into you. And sincerely, I must be frank with you, it is easier to catch fear than to catch faith. I must be frank with you. It is easier to catch fear than to catch faith. You can catch fear in less than 10 minutes of hearing bad news. But to process faith takes the time. Because faith is of the spirit. So I ask you, SDI, whose reports shall you believe? The report of the person you believe will determine the kind of the person which you are going to see. Can somebody speak again that God has given me a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. I am not a slave to fear. I have overcome fear. I live by faith and not by fear. Because I have the spirit of God in me. I have overcome fear. So you have, see, literally, your fears will not, I'm being honest with you, the things you fear the most will not come to pass until you allow it. The Bible says, whatsoever you allow on earth shall be allowed in heaven. You don't allow just by the actions you take. You allow first and foremost by the confession of your mouth. Because the confessions of your mouth speaks of the disposition of your heart. Confessions of your mouth explains the disposition of your heart. So, your confessions regarding certain things can easily explain whether you are really scared or you have faith, at least. I'm being frank with you. So, you can always do a litmus test of yourself when in certain situations. When it comes to, you know, certain situations, how do you speak? Certain situations, how do you talk? What are the things that comes from your mouth? Is it faith or fear? It says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and a sound mind. Verse 8 says, not you therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Nor of me, his prisoner. But it says, be you partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to God's power. Praise the Lord. Now let's talk about the role of love in about 5 minutes, and then we'll pray. 1 John 4:18. The Bible says that we have received the spirit of power, of love, and sound mind. And they have said that power means that you have power and fear. We have said this, that whatsoever you allow on earth shall be allowed in heaven. So your fears to pass because you allow. So if you have to allow before they come to pass, it means you have a power over it. Now, you are scared because your mind is unsound. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. So a sound mind leads to a transformed life. A sound mind leads to a transformed life. Are we together now? And what about the EU of love? God says he has given unto us a spirit of love. A spirit of love. A spirit of love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. I must say this now at this point. Fear is only a channel for the real problem. Fear is only a channel for the real thing that the devil wants to do. So you're scared. So you'll be able to do what he really wants to do. Resisting. 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 Again. Again, I say resisting. Steadfast in faith. Now, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it says, he that loves not God, he that loves not, rather, knows not God, for God is love. The person that does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now, if you do not love, you don't know God. If you don't know God, how can you believe the report of God? Can you believe the report of a person that you do not know? You can't believe the report of a personality that you do not know. Especially if such a personality is a divine being like God that you may not be able to see. So how do we know God? By dwelling in love. Verse 9 says, it was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. The love of God is manifested as we live through his Son. He that does not love, don't know God. In this was manifested the love of God to us, that God sent his only begotten Son. Praise God. Verse 12. Let's read from verse 12 now. It says, no man has seen God at any time. So if we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. It says, hereby know we that we dwell in him. This is how we are going to know that we dwell in God, and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. Which spirit? The spirit that is of power and of love and of a sound mind. Explaining God's love to us. Now, indeed, if God loved us, do you think he would allow one to come to you? Think about this. Indeed, if God loves you, do you think he will allow what you are so scared about to happen to you? Indeed, if God loves you, as he claims, if God loves you, as he has shown by sending the Lord Jesus into this world to die for your sins, will he allow those fears to act now to happen for you, to happen to you? Now, if those fears happen to you, it means because something else is happening. Somebody else has the key. And the person asking the key, that has the key now is you. Praise the Lord. Verse 17. Verse 17 says, herein, it says, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Now hear this, verse 18. It says, herein is our love made perfect. This is the perfection of our love. Both God towards us and us towards God. Herein is our love made perfect. It says, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now, the day of judgment is every day where you are faced with circumstances that will cause you to fear. Every day that you are faced with circumstances that you have to deal with. The day of judgment. He says, herein is our Lord made perfect, that we may have boldness in that day, because as he is, so are we in this world. Let me repeat that last part. As he is, so are we in this world. I repeat, Lord Jesus is, so are you in this world. Second thing you need to start thinking about, that if indeed the Lord Jesus, if you are like the Lord Jesus, as the Bible said now, that you are like the Lord Jesus is right now. And the Lord Jesus as of now is the Lord of all. And he has made you a co-inheritor with him. He has made you a co-ruler with him. He has made you a king and a priest like him. Praise the Lord. Now understand these things. So if you are indeed like him, can those fears to the Lord Jesus? If it is happening to the Lord Jesus, it can only be because the Lord Jesus allowed it. I'm saying this again, that those fears may only come to pass because you allow it. They can only come to pass because you allowed it. So if you disallow those things, you are going, how do you disallow? Speak for the word of faith and stand on it. Are you ready to speak for the word of faith tonight? The Bible says there is no fear in love. It says perfect love casts out fear. A perfect understanding of God's love for you and your manifestation of love to God, it casts out fear entirely. So as you come to the fullness of the understanding of what God has done for you and is still willing to do for you, are we together now? And you are ready to reciprocate this love to God, fear finds its way. And in a way, you become arrogant to that. Are you ready to speak for this thing? Rise on your feet wherever you are. I need to speak for. And then now, I do not know the exact fears that you have. I'm being honest with you now. I do not know the exact fear that you have. I want you to take 2-3 minutes. Think about these fears. Think about these fears. 2-3 minutes. Just think about them, gather them together in your thoughts. Now begin to speak to them one by one, say, I overcome you. Now begin to gather them one by one and say, I overcome you. I already overcame. Gather them one by one and speak to them. This one, I already overcame. This one, I already overcame. This one, I pray, you know, this one. Do you fear of this? I already overcame. You fear of this? I already overcame. You fear of this? I already overcame. Can you begin to speak for? Paena subashataria ne ragu rabale grede. E gizire ne di brashara imbra notiele keriana bashatura. E gazira.